Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Maggiorno. I'm joined today by the one and only Mr. Emilio Sparks.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Emilio, today we are going to talk about something that I'm so excited about. We're going to talk about unlimited nerd budget, a sort of blank nerd check. Now, what does that mean? The way I described it shorthand is you can't say I'd build my parents a house, but you could say I will build my parents a recreation of the house from Home Alone.
Right, right. I mean, I would get them shit, to be honest with you. If this is all my money, right?
Right.
And it's not even from non-refundable tokens or Bitcoin.
Right.
This is just untapped capital.
Yeah.
I'm spoiling myself and I'm coming home to me. I'm being selfish. This
right.
is my money. This is what right. I'm going
to
do.
And we're not going to be talking about giving it to charity. We're talking about taking your inner child and giving that inner child all the money in the world and what the fuck would happen.
Right. I love it. I've been thinking about this since you proposed this idea. And what I'm thinking I'm going to do is I'm going to go from like responsible, moderate, like small things that have grave magnitude.
Sure.
To the big. So maybe we can go in like some sort of order.
Sure. Okay. I'm down for that. We don't have a number for this list because
just endless.
I don't know. I came up with a lot. So yeah, I think that's a good way to go about it. I should say that part of what inspired this episode is Animal Crossing, because with Animal Crossing, you build your island and you could pick whatever aesthetic. Like in Animal Crossing right now, I'm building a haunted mansion bedroom with all sorts of fun, spooky shit. So Animal Crossing, I kind of was thinking, what if Animal Crossing were real life? What if real life, I could pay off my debts by selling butterflies that I caught with a net?
Hey,
I wish.
Whatever floats your boat, man. If you can dream it, you do it. If those butterflies can help you chase your goals, I say you do it.
I know. Boom. You have no idea what I'm talking
about. I have no idea.
Emilio hasn't played a video game since Pong.
Yeah, literally.
So what do you got?
Okay, so I'm going to start off reasonably responsible here, right?
Sure.
It's a two-prong purchase.
Please.
Okay? I want a used, from the collection of Ric Flair, a Rolex and one of his ring-worn fancy $200,000 robes.
Okay, wait. Are they really $200,000?
Yes, some of them are. Yeah, some of them were $200,000.
Or is that what they're going for? That's what they're going for.
Now some of them go for that. So I think if I was to get one from him,
sure,
right, I would respect the god, because that's what he is. He's a wrestling god.
Sure.
I'd be like, okay, give me a number. Uh-huh. If he says 50,000, I got you. If he says 80,000, hey, no problem.
Yeah.
How much for both? I don't care. I want one of your Rolexes because you were one of the reasons why Rolex has become a staple in professional wrestling, where wrestlers, they call them the biscuits, will buy the biscuit.
Uh-huh.
It's because of Ric Flair.
Really?
Steve Austin said it. As a kid watching Ric Flair, he knew if he wanted to make it in the wrestling business, one of his first major checks would be a Rolex. And what happened?
Yeah.
By God, when he made it in the wrestling business, started making good money, he bought himself a Rolex.
Right.
I guess a Rolex is a status symbol, as if you made it in the world of pro wrestling. Shit.
Right,
it's
right.
A status symbol if you make it now. I mean, a presidential Rolex, the top of the line, is like $36,000.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. All gold? Probably a little bit more. But the thing is with Rolex is they don't decrease in value.
Sure.
They just increase. So technically, it would be an investment.
Sure, sure. Now, why then is it important for you to get one of Mr. Flair's rather than a nice shiny new Rolex for yourself?
Because wouldn't you like to stunt and say, hey, look at this, as I point to my wrist.
You would wear it.
Oh my God, I would wear it. I'd be like, hey, Ric Flair gave me this watch. I bought this watch from Ric Flair. This is one of the original Ric Flair Four Horsemen 1986 Rolexes.
Wow.
When he was NWA World Champion, when he would party in Vegas, then take a private jet, fly to wherever it is that he was wrestling, get back on the jet, fly back to Vegas, stay there for the week. He would party in this timepiece.
See this watch right here? This watch, at some point in history, Ric Flair looked at this watch and said, hey, it's time to do more cocaine.
Boom. Boom.
If you look very, very closely in between the rivets, you might see a few little specks, a little bit of fun dust.
That's it. That's what I want. I want the Rolex because the Rolex might have a story.
Okay. And I'm surprised you wear it though.
Oh, I would have to. I would wear it for major occasions. Would I wear it every day? No. But if I was going out with, let's say, a pretty lady,
sure. Or
I was going out on for a rendezvous with the guys.
Yeah.
Then by all means, like I would totally do it.
Okay. You know,
major holidays.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Absolutely. Your Christmas.
It's a beautiful timepiece.
Yes.
So I would do that, and then I would have to get the robe with it.
Sure.
Because you need a Ric Flair robe. Like
don't
you? It was part of the whole package of Ric Flair.
Now, even though this is a fantasy, have you looked up how much these things are? Have you actually gone on eBay or whatever and taken a little gander?
I have, because Ric Flair's ex-wife took a majority of the robes and was selling them when they divorced. And they were going for $50,000, $80,000, $30,000,
$100,000,
$200,000.
Wow. Yeah. Those numbers blow my mind.
I mean, if you're a serious Ric Flair collector, it's out there.
Yeah. All right. Well, mine. Okay. So my first one I'm straight up stealing from somebody else because I saw somebody did it on TikTok and I said, fuck, I want to do this. This guy or this family during the quarantine, he turned his basement into a VHS video store.
You sent me this and I thought it was genius.
And it's like, it's not just a room with videotapes. It's got the aisles. It's got the little candy at the counter. It's got your posters. It's got a standee of Jason Voorhees. It's got a pinball machine. It is a straight up 1980s video store. And I would love that. And I would operate it. I would let my friends and lovers and acquaintances come in. I'd let them get a membership. I'd laminate them a nice little PCMC video store card that they could carry with them. If you don't have it, you're not getting a movie. Go home and get the card. and Emilio, if I rented a movie to you and you brought it back, hey, buddy, how are you? Nice to see you. And I look and I see it's not rewound. I'm hitting you with a fee.
Listen, if I'm coming to PCMC Video, then I have to respect the rules.
Thank you.
Of the sacred institution.
Thank you.
Like, honestly, it should be one of those members only. Here's where you can watch it. Like, I wouldn't even give the VHSs out. I'd be like, listen, here is a screening room.
Oh, I see. So more like a library then. It's more like.
I would make it that. I would make it a library that is resembling a video store. And then they can buy all the sweet treats that they want at the checkout desk.
Sure, sure, sure. Well, I get what you're saying. In all seriousness, though, I have really thought about collecting VHS, but I stopped myself for a few reasons. One, I've got no more room. I already collect books and action figures and bullshit and Disney paraphernalia. I have no more room for shit. Number two, I'm not going to start spending my hard-earned money on collecting things that probably a good 10 years ago I got done throwing them all out. And number three, unlike vinyl records, there truly is no inherent value. VHS, don't get it wrong. VHS democratized movies. It brought movies to the masses. But VHS is not a good medium. They don't look good. They don't hold up. You put a VHS in a hot room and you ruined it. So I just can't bring myself to do it. Yet sometimes when I go online and I peruse old VHS boxes, oh boy, does it bring me back.
Well, see, that's the thing. And I think nostalgia is probably the most addictive drug that I think one can be addicted to.
Absolutely.
And if it brings you this thing, right, this joy, this unspeakable joy, and the dopamine is just released in your brain and you're feeling like a sense of euphoria, right? Cool. But yeah, also have to have the space for it. Now, maybe.
No, yeah.
If you had the space for it, let's say you had, I don't know, let's say you had 100 acres of property. Let's just throw some ridiculous number out there, right? You can have a moderately tiny other house
yeah.
that is just for the VHS and the screening room.
Yeah.
So that way, if your friends want to come over, specifically now with all like the COVID restrictions and all this other stuff, you can start a whole new enterprise where they will, you know, pay for X amount of views and then you would punch their card. It's kind of like back in the day when you used to get those hoagies and like, you know, seven hoagies, you get a free one.
Yeah.
So that's what you can do. So that way you have its own separate wing, its own separate area, you know, like everything's categorized and taped. And then maybe you have a basement where you can like continuously rotate your collection. But how much would you collect? How would you start? Are you doing just movies that are your issue? Is it all time favorites? Is it cinematic classics?
I imagine I would start, if I were really doing this, I would probably start with my favorite movies. But in terms of collecting, I would want the nostalgia. So I would want, like, if I were to get VHSs of Star Wars, I wouldn't want the 1995 boxes. I would want the 1982 boxes. I would want the old boxes. I want the I would want the classic, you know, if I were going for Disney stuff, I want the classic Disney clamshell, the plastic clamshell. In a sense, I think you would more be collecting the boxes than the actual VHS, because the box is the aesthetic. The box is the thing that you're going to put up on the shelf.
Okay, so you're looking for more for the box than the actual...
Right, if I were to do this, which I can't bring myself to do.
Right. So that's what you should do, you know, like find the real estate and then start there. But I can't see you having Gone with the Wind and Citizen Kane and I don't know, all those spaghetti westerns.
I'd eventually want to get everything. That's the problem with all collecting, which is it's addictive. You start with something and then you're like, oh, maybe I'll expand to this. Or maybe I'll do this. Or maybe I'll do that.
Well, again, that is wherein lies the real issue.
Yeah.
You know, how much do you collect?
The addiction. Well, that's the point of this episode, because it's addiction. What if we could just feed our filthy addictions without remorse?
Well, if you're not having remorse, then you can get every film made from, you know, all the Cecil B. DeMille silent films up until now. But it's just a matter of then you really have to start to think, well, how do I store this? What type of special libraries do I need? Am I doing reel to reel film? Am I doing VHSs? Am I doing the Super 8s? Am I doing the official ones that would come in the movie theaters? Like,
yeah.
Am I doing the ones that would be in television?
Well, that's what like some directors do. Like I know Quentin Tarantino collects 35 and 16 millimeter films, actual films. And he's a guy who has his own screening room and even pays his own projectionist. So there's a guy out there who works in Quentin Tarantino's house. He's Quentin Tarantino's projectionist.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
That shit's crazy. Like, remember Cribs?
Yeah.
You remember Tommy Lee had a Starbucks in his house and like a barista?
Yeah.
Like, that shit's weird. Like, what do you do? Oh, I work at Starbucks, kinda. What do you mean, kind of? I actually just work alone. I work in Tommy Lee's house.
Which would probably be the greatest job, because I don't think he's coming down every hour. So I guess you get to lounge.
That giant horse penises.
Right. Horse penises. You can mess around on your phone. You could just sit there. You could watch TV. Maybe go get a workout in, you know, and you just hang out. Well, and then when he wants a latte, he'll probably come down or text you, be like, hey, get back to your post. I'm going to be here. Because he seems like a dream to work for.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm going to skip one, even though you're next. You said workout, so I want to tell you one more I got.
Go ahead.
I want my own gym in my house, but I want it to be made to look like the Fortress of Solitude from the Christopher Reeve Superman movie.
Okay.
So everything's made out of crystals. There's a giant floating Marlon Brando head, and he's I program him to be kind of like a virtual trainer.
Yeah.
So like Brando's like, Mike, keep going. Come on. I can't do a good Brando impression, but he's like, son. You know, and one.
Another
and
rep, two. My son.
Yeah.
Another rep. Give me 10 more, my son.
Yeah. Basically, that would be it. And I'd be looking at his big head and everything would be made of crystals.
Right. Now, would it be a projection of his head?
Yes, of course. Okay. Yes. Kind of like Zordon style.
That's what you would need then. Okay. I like it. I think that's a great idea. I'm all for the whole physical fitness game.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
All for them.
And no one else could dare come in it because it's the Fortress of Solitude.
I mean, who else would want to? I mean, that's the place for you to do your battle ropes
and
your kettlebell swings.
Yeah. And much like Superman, I would have an army of robots to spar with.
I see. Now, yeah. I like that you're adding a combat sports feel to it.
Well, I mean, if you have a Fortress of Solitude, you know.
You got to sharpen your skills.
Tell me something else on your list.
I would do the 1968 green Mustang from Steve McQueen's epic film, Bullet. Ooh. I would want the Bullet car from the actual movie.
I've actually not seen that film, but I'm familiar with the car.
It's the greatest cars chase in the history of cinema.
That is quite a bold statement.
You don't think it is?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, well, you better get on that, buddy boy.
What, have you seen the car chase in The French Connection?
Yes, Popeye Doyle. It's very good, but I don't think it is as good as the one in Bullet.
What about Terminator 2?
Another great one, but does not handle what Bullet... I mean, you're going around the streets of San Francisco.
Now, would you actually drive around with it like that?
I would not make that a car to drive recklessly. I wouldn't even make it my daily rider.
Yeah.
But I would make it my weekend vehicle. I would.
Why not your daily rider, though?
I don't know. I don't think it would start out as the daily rider, you know, just because of the way people are, you know, like the nicks and dings, and I'm not bringing it to the supermarket and leaving it in the parking lot of a Trader Joe's, and then a shopping cart, you know, bangs and scuffs the door. I'm not doing that.
It's like Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we're professionals.
I'm not doing that. You know, I don't even want it outside.
Okay. Okay.
So but I would make it my weekend car.
And I could see you with your arm out with the Ric Flair Rolex on it.
Dude, Ric Flair Rolex, arm hanging out. I'll even do a white t-shirt, sleeves rolled up.
Yeah.
Right. Aviator sunglasses on, toothpick in my mouth. I'm blasting some Fog Hat and I'm just driving, man.
Okay.
Just driving. it's a great, and I'm not even a big car guy either.
Right.
I'm not. I don't like, I like them. I appreciate them, but I don't really see no value in spending, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars on a car. But that Bullet car, I was blown away when I first seen that car chase scene in high school.
Right.
So I was like, oh, this is the car I want.
I feel you. Yeah. I think I would like an Ecto One.
Another great car, because you want stuff that stands out. You want stuff that has been around.
Right. And that's the old fashioned ambulance car.
And it's Cadillac too, the Ecto One.
Yeah.
So if you're going to drive in style, might as well be a Cadillac.
Yes.
With that pearl white paint.
Yes. A lot of people want the DeLorean. Like, I know, what's his name? The writer of Ready Player One, he like has a DeLorean that like he put the flux capacitor in it. It looks like Doc Brown's time machine. Yeah. And I certainly, if I saw one of those on the street, I'd flip out. But I don't know if that's what I want to drive. I don't know. But I like the one, especially if I could get the lights on it.
Of course you could get the lights on.
We're ready to believe you on the on the side.
Listen, if you ain't going to do this right, don't do it at all then.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I don't know. Ain't no half step in here, buddy. Like, if you step it up, do it right, man. Like, don't fucking come half ass, dude. I'd be so mad at you.
I'm trying to think of other cars. I always kind of wanted Luke Skywalker's, like his. What are, I now? I'm gonna be so mad at myself because I can't think of it right now.
You would know better than me.
But his car, his sand speeder.
Isn't that what it is?
Well, in the original movie, like. Pre-early effects, like it's literally a car, and then they just use fucking it's so cheap, they just put grease on the lens to sort of like blot out what's obviously wheels. You look at that original Star Wars and some of it's like, yikes, this is cheap. So I guess it's possible to make one. That'd be fun.
Well, I mean, you can make one, and it's just a matter of hiding the wheels, or do you spend all this money on hovercraft technology and legitimately try to develop the tech?
That's a really good question. Tell me something else you got. Let me into that brain of yours.
Okay, now I think this is interesting. I would want the original. I want the original Leroy Neiman painting of Rocky and Apollo from the end of Rocky 3, and then you see it in Rocky Balboa in the restaurant.
Actual original canvas, the original piece.
Yes, I would want the original by Leroy that Stallone owns.
I was just going to say, who has it?
Stallone owns it. I'd be like, Sly, give me a price.
Emilio, you know, I love you like a son, but I can't do it. I don't know what I'm doing.
Right, but I would. It's like John Travolta, more John Travolta than.
And like a frog.
And a frog, like if Bob Marino.
You gotta stop with like.
You gotta put your lip one way and your lip the other way.
I don't know.
Okay. Like this?
He would never do it.
I would tell him this. Look,
you think he needs money? You think he needs your money?
No, I don't think he needs my money, but I would just tell him, listen, donate this to the charity of your choice. I think your daughters are set to inherit everything.
Sure. Which
is fine. You know, they're going to get your Oscar. They're going to get your Golden Globe. I don't want none of that. I mean, the Oscar, now that we're thinking about it, the Oscar for Rocky Best Picture would be really cool. I think that trumps the painting, to be quite honest. Yeah. But if he wasn't willing to part with that and they wanted to keep that as a family heirloom passed down from one Stallone generation to the other, then I'd be like, listen, I appreciate this movie on so many levels. I want the original painting. I have the reproduction. Give me what I want. And then donate all of this money to the charity of your choosing.
What if you were like, I know you're a healthy guy. What if you were like, sure, but you got to sit down with me and smoke a few stogies first?
I mean, I would have to do it.
Okay.
I would have to. I mean, also, that's also a really cool story. You know, I'm not big on smoking stogies. I've never smoked a stogie, but I would say, hey.
No, he's got the good stuff.
Right. You know, the Cohibas and the Cubans. So I'd be like, look, you see how, and it always comes with a story with me. You see how I got this painting? I offered Stallone this much money. And he said, yes, but as long as I can donate it to a charity of my choosing. But here's the one condition that I need. And I'd be like, well, what is that, Sly? Well, you got to smoke a couple stogies with me. Yeah. All right. So you know what? I lit up a cigar and I smoked a cigar with him. I didn't enjoy it. I practically didn't inhale. I did a couple of puffs. I would flick some of the ash to look cool into an ashtray. And then him and I, we just chatted the whole night about Carl Weathers, about Mr. T, about Drago.
Milo Ventimiglia. What's he really like?
Milo Ventimiglia. What is he like? How's Jean-Claude Van Damme in real life?
Hey, Sly, tell me, are you team Dean or team Jess?
Exactly. I would ask him the whole thing. I'd be like, what are you into? Like, that's a great Gossip Girl reference. Gotham Girl, I was going to say. That's what I would do. I think
it's Girls.
It is Gilmore Girls. I was just, damn it. I should have. And I've been telling your girlfriend to do a Gilmore Girls podcast too. She should really do that, by the way.
I agree.
I would have to do that. And then if there was other like Randis, probably a treasure trove in that man's house.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, listen, now here's a separate blank check. Let me walk around and see what you have that I can grab. Because there's probably boxing gloves. There's probably Rocky robes.
He definitely has his own gym too.
Absolutely. Well, I would have my own gym, but again, that's a necessity, not like an over the top purchase that I would, you know what I mean?
It becomes over the top when you model it to look like the Fortress of Solitude.
Right, right. I would keep it straight.
You can make yours look exactly like Mickey Goldmills, like could with be. The dirty floors.
Could be.
Angry people working there.
And the cardboard cutouts on the wall. Hey, remember that guy Rock?
Hey man, I like your locker.
I'll dig your locker, man. So that's what I would do. I would be like, okay, so listen, here's the check for the painting, and then here's the blank check for me to wander around your house buying random items of yours.
Okay.
Now I don't know if that becomes borderline obsessive and creepy.
No, or... I mean, sure, that's fine.
All right,
that's fine.
Okay, good.
Okay, so remember that episode of Rick and Morty where Rick, using his portal gun, finds a whole planet that he uses just to make a bathroom?
Yeah,
so
toilet.
Like,
yeah.
So he could just like have the most peaceful shit in the world. Just like he's got a toilet out in the open and it's like beautiful grass and beautiful plants. And he just uses his portal gun. And it's like when you have that secret bathroom at work or whatever, but it's like the most secret because it's just a planet just for shitting. I would want to do something like that. Like, obviously, I can't get a portal gun, but if I could like buy a ton of land, like in Montana or somewhere, just like a lot of land, I would make it so you couldn't fly over it, right? Okay. No one could get any pictures of it. All beautifully, you know, landscaped. And then right in the middle, a toilet on a hill, just like Rick has, beautiful sky. And just like on a nice day, and you know, I It would have to be secure enough. There'd be trees around because it'd have to be secure enough that you're outside, but you don't feel vulnerable.
Right.
That's against the whole point. The whole point is you feel like this is the most comfortable place in the world. And you just sit and you take your poop in perfect harmony with the universe.
Right. Now, how do you dispose of the waste? Like, are you doing a natural compost? Are you having an eco toilet where you just shit into the ground?
Well, I'm not sure of the science behind it. I'll have to get a guy who knows the most healthy way to do it or the most eco-friendly way to do it. But basically, as we say, the money is no object.
Right, because compost toilets are the new thing. It's a new rage.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll do that. The toilet itself, I'm not going to go too crazy with the way it looks. Like, I know Donald Trump has like gold toilets. I don't need gold for my hiney, but it's got to be, I have OCD, so it's got to be the whitest white you've ever seen. Like, literally every day at night, technicians need to come in with hazmat suits and like clean it perfectly and like re-bleach it so it's the whitest white scientifically possible.
Would you have a built-in squatty potty for your legs?
Yes, yes, yes. I would terraform the ground so my legs would actually be like on the ground, but squatty.
Wow. I'm just envisioning this and I would love to take a shit in this like personal Idaho of yours.
Yeah.
I think that's magical. It's funny that you brought up bathrooms because I would want a bathroom as well. But now again, this is probably more of a logical purchase than more than anything else, but I would love to have a urinal and a hand dryer.
Sure. No. Don't you know about the hand dryers?
No.
There was an article that came out a couple years ago that said that they're filthy because it's taking the shitty air from the room and it's blowing it onto your hands. If you anything, the towels are better than hand dryers are. Oh, that's just shit air.
Right. But even if you shut the toilet down and then flush,
it's taking the air from that room.
See, then I would have to have a filtration system put in.
Right. You'd have to have a tube that brings the air from the outside.
I guess I would have to.
Okay.
Which is fine. I mean, you know, if I just got to figure out the R&D of that. But also, speaking of bathrooms, I would love a Mark 1 or is it Mark 3 in Iron Man suit? The exoskeleton. Because even he in Iron Man 2, he pisses all in that suit. And he says, don't worry about this. It's a filtration system.
I don't remember that. He goes to the bathroom in those suits?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a scene where he's drunk and he's having a party, right?
Right.
And in the montage, he references pissing himself in the suit because he's so drunk. And he says, oh, don't worry about it. There's a filtration system.
All about that.
So now if I'm, you know, running around this suit and it'll take me forever to take off, I can just go to the bathroom in the suit.
See, that does not sound comfortable.
Well, it's like a diaper, but
sound comfortable either.
I just think you can't shit in the suit. I think you have to know like you can't shit. But if you got to pee and you're wearing a suit and if it has its own filtration system,
Rather the suit like just open up like a zipper, like, and then I could take my pee-pee out, put it out on the ground, and then closes back up.
Right, but I don't think Iron Man's doing that. I think if he's flying up in the air and he's got to go pee, I don't think he's going to, you know, take his pee-pee out and pee as he's flying over a city. What I think he'll do is he'll piss.
Well, I don't think you do it while flying. That's a
dip. I mean, what's the point of having a suit like that if you can't fly and piss at the same time?
Oh, is that the thrill? Is that the idea? You want to pee? I guess peeing while flying would be very exciting.
What, you don't go to the bathroom when you're on a plane?
That's not even a little bit the same.
Hey, you don't feel exhilarating? I remember the first time I took a shit on a plane. I was like, you mean to tell me that I get to shit 50,000 miles in the air?
No, see, my OCD, I try to spend as little time on a plane in general, but a plane bathroom.
Well, you gotta go. Yeah, but Mike, I lived on a plane for almost a year with my old job.
Uh-huh.
But like when I was working for WWE, I was
on a plane. You gotta go.
I gotta go. So I got so used to being at an airport
that
it didn't even bother me at that point anymore. You know, but I wouldn't sit on the bowl. I wouldn't wrap the bowl. I would do like what I like to call the death from above.
Okay.
I would squat. But it's still an exhilarating rush, even to pee the first time. I'm like, yo, I just peed in an airplane up in the sky. I'm like a bird.
Okay.
This is amazing. So now if I'm in the Mark 3 and I'm just rip roaring,
Yeah.
At light speed, I'm going to pee in the suit. And then, you know, there's like a filtration system. So then you can hit the lever and yeah. it'll probably like, you know, dispense somewhere. And it'll just be like a natural light rain cascading down into a neighborhood.
Right.
Clean I water. Like
that. That's a good one.
Right?
I mean, just having an Iron Man suit in general could be somebody's dream.
It's a great dream. It is the dream of dreams, if I'm being honest with you. Just because of the whole bathroom purpose of it. It's like, okay, cool. I don't even need the propulsion, you know, jets. Yeah. Just let me have some place where I could just wear this at parties and I can just pee in it and use it as my porta potty.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you not?
I agree. One thing I would want, and maybe this could be on your list too, I would want like a podcast palace, like a beautiful studio with like all the amenities, you know, everything you could possibly want. You know, you got the screens up, you know, maybe instead of having an intern, I'll just have like a Siri situation where like Siri Google this and they Google it and, you know, just bring up clips whenever we're just talking about bullshit. Basically like a perfect PCMC, like a physical embodiment of PCMC.
You want a
like,
playhouse?
Yes, but it is a recording studio. It is for making the podcasts.
Right, right.
And there'll be many. There would be many at that point.
Of course. I thought about something similar, but I would do it in the shape of Grayskull.
Very nice.
What does it look like inside? Oh, it's state of the art. You have it still looks like a castle, but you're mixing kind of like what David Xanatos did in Gargoyles.
Okay, okay.
But you're mixing the medieval goth look with a modern technology feel.
See, I would like maybe the interior of the movie Grayskull with all the sort of red stone everywhere. Right.
No, I would do it straight from the books and the playset, but I would make it look like a recording studio. So it's like soundproof. And then there's also editing bays for videographers. There's also a lounge area. There's a Grayskull kitchen, you know?
Well, you know, the original Disney studio, the first, like when they first like made their, like they had money and it was like, okay, I can make a studio. Walt Disney like designed it like a little city. Like that was the first step towards his sort of like Disneyland idea when he got into the idea of like space and designing things. Like it was on Hyperion Avenue in California. And if you look it up, like he had a little coffee shop, a restaurant. He had one building for the ink and paint, one building for the animators, one building for this. On the top floor, you had Walt's office. On the very roof, you had the gentleman's club, which had like a gym and a sauna. And like, you know, like that was like the top tier. And like he designed it himself.
Sounds like utopia.
It was the perfect machine for making those things. Like that's what I want. I would want to make the perfect machine for producing podcasts.
Right. Cause I like to work from home now, you know, and uh-huh. I have the liberty to do that now because I do work for myself and I do have several clients and I'm okay. So I can work from home, but I don't like to mix my bedroom space with my workspace. So it's like, I would need another space in which to create. And I would love that. I would love to have, you know, an on gym premise. Like, wow, great. I can work out. Great. Let's do that.
We'll go to the sauna. We'll take a schwitz. Then we'll record a little something. Maybe we'll get a little nosh.
That's it. Then I'll have all my meetings in different areas. Like I would love to have my meeting in a sauna with the social media team. I'd be like, okay, what are the social media polls for this podcast?
Well, that's the ultimate fucking baller move. Like you see that in like old movies. Like you're never more of a hotshot than when people have to meet you in your sauna and you're just there balls out. And they're like taking notes like, yes, sir, whatever you want, sir. And you're like, you know what? Make it 8 o'clock.
Right, right. That would be ideal for me. Like, yeah. Sweat out all the impurities of the day. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, all right, guys, here's what we got to do.
Yeah.
Here's the meeting. Hold on. Press the button. More steam comes out and smells like eucalyptus.
Yes, right, of course.
Right. You know, but this is in Grayskull.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, of course.
So this is in Grayskull. I mean, I have every amenity you could possibly think of in Grayskull.
Right, right.
Like, it would be like Walt's Utopia. So this is like a big building.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, yeah, bring it in, guys. Bring it in. Everybody has Grayskull key cards that are in the shape of He-Man and Skeletor swords.
Yeah.
So you're like, boop, boop.
I would get Mark Taylor, the designer of the original He-Man and Grayskull. You've seen him on the Toys That Made Us. He's the sort of dude with the big belly and the beard. Who's like, yeah, I fucking invented He-Man. like that dude, that badass dude, I would get him. I'd be like, Mark, I don't know if he's retired or not, but I'd be like, listen, we're doing it. We're doing the dream. I'm making my own Grayskull, life size, and I need your genius. I need your pen, sir. With the unlimited nerd budget, sir. Whatever you want.
You're going to make me a land shark, Mark? Is that what you're going to do?
You'd be like, you fucking bet I am.
Like, all right, Mark, let's rock and roll, daddy. Let's do it. Yeah, I mean, you know, the possibilities are endless. Yeah, we could have said thunder tanks and cat's layers. Yeah, those are all cool, man. But silly. Like, let's not be silly here. Could you imagine getting to work in a hassle every day?
Right, right. I would also want one button that just was the podcasting button. Like, I'd have my engineers that, like, know how to do what they're doing, but I'm lazy. I just want a button where I go, okay, we're ready. I press the button and we're making a podcast.
That's it.
Just the big the big red podcast. It's like huge. It looks like the nuclear launch code. It's like just a big button in front of me. I'm like, all right, we're doing a podcast.
Right. I don't even want to turn on the equipment at this point to do it, the shows that I produce anymore.
Right.
You know, right. I just want them done at this point. Yeah, you know?
Right. Take out the mics. Nah.
Like, no. I hire you to do that.
Yeah.
From now on, your name is Roboto. You're going to do this.
I just got the Roboto Master Universe Origins figure.
Oh, what is that? That's the third wave.
Yes.
Wave 3. Yeah.
Such a good figure. Awesome figure.
I have wave 3. Mine's in the collector grade. It's sitting in its own individual box in a 70-gallon tub in my garage right now. I'm filling this tub up with Motu Origins.
I take mine out of the fucking blister pack, and I'm looking at it right now. I've got a little Motu section in my basement with all my figures, and I still got plenty to go. I need a Hordak, I need a Stratos. I got more to do, but
so why don't you just pre-order them on Big Bad Toy Store then, and since you like to open them up, you can get the cards that are beat to shit and just open up the toys.
Right.
And then you'll get them.
Well, you know, this is another dream. This is silly, but more realistic if I did have the money.
Okay,
all the figures I'd ever want.
Okay. See, I thought we were going to talk about the thing that you and I were talking about yesterday. But yes, I like that. All the things that you ever want.
What were we talking about yesterday?
Our toy store.
Oh, yeah. Emilio sent me a picture yesterday. See, Emilio, if you don't know, I take my toys out. Emilio collects his toys. He likes them mint. He likes them pristine. If you could give him to him an unpunched card, oh, he gets all excited. So when Emilio sees a toy in bad condition in like a Walmart or whatever, it pisses him off, and he sends me the pictures on his phone. And what started the conversation? You were like, not if it were my store, buddy. And then we started talking if we had our own store.
Right. So, you know, yesterday I'm in Target and I'm looking around. I had to do some last minute like shopping. And I just like to, you know, now I have almost the first, second and third waves of Motu. So it's like, you know, a couple here and there, but I'll order them either on Entertainment Earth or Big Bad. So I go into the area and there's literally four He-Man toys.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They're just hanging on the pegs. Cards are all destroyed. Yeah. The shelves are just barren. Even the other toys, all the shelves are just barren. So I send Michael this and the cards are destroyed. And I texted Michael to this and I'd be like, you know what? I'm really getting the urge just to take on a part time job here just to mint out the toy section.
That'd be great. You apply to Target and you're like, they're like, sir, why do you want to work here? And you're like, I only want to work in the toy section. I'm going to wear these white gloves.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make sure that your Motu toys are fucking mint, because this, sir, is a travesty.
Sorry, guys. I'm a little OCD, but this is ridiculous. Even the Marvel 3.75s, they're all sold out. Cards are bent. You know, like I would do some side brother dealings too. Like, you know what I mean? I'd be like, I would write a note. Hey, serious collectors, from this time to this time, I will open up boxes of Motu unpunched.
Yes.
Be here at this time.
What would the name of our store be?
I think we keep it on brand. I think everything's PCMC toys.
PCMC toys.
Yeah. It'll honestly, it would probably be literally four things too. I can't see us doing anything. It would be a shit ton of stuff.
PCMC, pop culture manufactured collectibles.
I like that. Pop culture manufacturer.
I'm applauding myself for that.
Do it. And I saw you too. Like, your eyes rolled in the back of your head.
PCMC.
And you were seriously thinking about it.
pop culture manufactured collectibles. Come on down to PCMC. Trademark.
That's it. We can have great, like, we can have great public access commercials made.
Oh, man, just like me in like a really shitty He-Man costume. Like, I've got the power to sell you great action figures. Come on down.
But I would dress up in like Optimus Prime, but in cardboard. I'd be like, I want you to roll out on our prices. We're rolling out our prices. And it would be, I guarantee you we'd probably have a poppin' toy store. But we would have to build the online business and just have a brick and mortar, of course, just for us to go someplace and do something during the day.
Right, right. The online would be a big part of it.
But the online would be the thing. But I would tell you, it would probably be like a shit ton of Star Wars, MOTU, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, maybe Thundercats, and some WWE stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, what do people really collect? You know, like Batman, yeah, we would probably need that. And that's something else I was thinking about, too. I was thinking of getting...
Making your own Batcave?
Yes, and I was thinking of having a Keaton cowl.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If I had if my house was underneath a Batcave...
Sure.
I would easily start to do that. I would probably just have everything down there. I probably wouldn't even have a mansion. I'd probably level the mansion and just live in the cave.
Well, as a kid, I really always wanted the Adam West Batcave. Because that always looked like more fun to play in.
Oh, to slide down the poles?
Yeah, and just the whole thing looked like it was more like fun, kind of like a laboratory. Yeah. Where like the Tim Burton, it's kind of like a big empty cavern with like a desk with monitors on it.
Right. And then, you know, the what's his faces?
For Nolan.
It wasn't really much of anything.
Yeah.
There was no high tech toys. There was nothing, you know. I would want the big penny. You need the big penny.
Right. The big dinosaur.
Right. If you don't have a big dinosaur in your, you know, Batman, Batcave, you're doing something wrong. Even when I was a kid and I had the Batman playset, I had the Batcave. I made sure that I had my Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Sure.
And I would put him in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I would take my brother's like big coins because he would, you know, play with these like Fisher Price like big coins. And I would pop one right there.
Absolutely.
I'd be like, I'm set now. I'm good.
Absolutely. Do you ever see Ernest Scared Stupid?
Yeah.
In that movie, the kids have this incredibly insane treehouse. And if I had an unlimited like nerd budget, I would build that treehouse. It was like a bat cave on a tree. It was amazing. There was a little observation deck. Mm. I would love something about that aesthetic of like a treehouse. Even if in my backyard, I could make like little Ewok huts, which are like basically like tree houses. I would love that.
I like that.
That would be like the chill room. Like, oh, you want to go to the little Ewok hut? We'll go hang out.
See, no, that's a good idea. I think that's a good idea because like you can, I would meditate. I would have like a treehouse yoga facility.
Yes.
I would do my breath work and Qigong in.
Yes, what you said.
Yeah, I like it. I think we would spend our money very, very well.
Yeah. I haven't said this yet, but I, of course, would have a beautiful screening room.
That's like a given, though, you know?
Well, I've thought about the aesthetic of it, though. I would want the ceiling to be all black and have, like, the twinkling stars. Like, there's a restaurant in Disney that's called Sci-Fi Dine-In. Where it's a restaurant inside, but it looks like you're out at a drive-in movie theater, and it's all like these 50s cars. The booths are like 50s cars, and then there's a screen that plays like old sci-fi movies, and then you look up and you see the little twinkling stars, but it's all fake. I would have that, the twinkling stars. I, of course, would have every video game system in every game. And I mean from like Atari 2600 to PS5. Everything, your ColecoVisions, everything. I would want Odyssey, everything.
Hey, listen, you know, I would want the Magnum PI Hawaiian shirt. So I get it. You like what you like.
Absolutely.
That's what I would want. I would want that. And then I would most likely get hire a Madame Tussauds wax sculptor. And I'd be like, put Tom Selleck in that shirt right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. See, that's one thing I wouldn't do. I don't like mannequins creep me out. Like, do you remember in How I Met Your Mother, Barney had like a stormtrooper in his apartment?
You wouldn't want one of those?
I wouldn't. I really wouldn't.
No way, dude. Give me a life-size Hulk statue. Give me a life-size Spider-Man like when you walk into Midtown Comics.
I don't like that stuff.
Set it up.
I don't like that stuff.
I also want the Highlander sword, the katana.
Well, the sword, I could do the swords and stuff. You know what I might do? Remember the old Warner Brothers store? If you looked up in the rafters, they'd be like gremlins.
Yeah.
I could maybe do that if they're hidden, but like just regular like mannequins of shit. Like, I don't know. I can't do that. It bugs me out.
My cousin, John, he's a big collector of things, and he has a movie room, mm-hmm. and he has gremlins, the actual like,
nice.
Like, I guess they were reproductions or whatever. Like, but he has them full, like they're full scale.
Right, right.
So I remember it was perfectly pitch black in the room because there was no windows in the theater room.
Yeah.
But I would end up sleeping instead of having this, like I had this beautiful, beautiful guest bedroom, right? With a porch that would overlook in the morning and you would see, you know, the sun, and this is in Dallas. So the sun would cascade over the lake in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to sleep in this cavern with the gremlins. And I would wake up so refreshed.
Oh, lovely. Oh, lovely. I thought you were going to say it was scary.
The first night it was weird, but then I would just realize, oh, they're just hunks of plastic. Great. I'm good. That's it. That's what I was doing. And it was nice. I was just like, you know, I'd rather sleep in here.
Well, you know what it is with like the screening room and even like the video store? There's some, I don't know, I have this idea or this fantasy, not just for myself, but of like bringing in a guest and being like, welcome to my home. Would you like to play any video game that's ever been created? Think of a video game and you can play it on this big screen. Would you like to borrow any movie there's ever been? I have it on VHS. Like there's something very, maybe it's the Sicilian in me. That like wants to make people feel at home, give them food. Like I'm just like, yeah, go ahead.
See, you're very warm and inviting and accommodating.
Yeah.
So that is why.
Right. I want the coolest house on the block.
Right. 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 I like a more moderny kind of like kitchen. I've been watching a ton of Property Brothers and Fixer Upper with Chip and Joanna Gaines. So I kind of would keep it. It's warm and inviting, but still a little cold and sterile. You know, but then once you get to Grayskull, then I'll be like, all right, cool here.
I think I'm very much the opposite. I like cleanliness for sure, but I think I like clutter, not messiness, but I like a busy aesthetic. I like a lot of colors. I like if you ever saw Before She Died, Carrie Fisher gave like I guess a little tour of her house. And it was like it was awesome. It's like I would have. She had a big like Princess Leia statue and like movie posters. It just like it was all like kitschy and weird, and I love it. I love that kind of kitschiness.
No, I think you need the right amount of kitsch, you know, but again, I think you would have like specific rooms. I don't want to put all this shit on display in my house. I would have it in like specific like areas.
Oh yeah, well I would also have themed things, you know what I mean? Like the gym is the Fortress of Solitude. The, you know, like, you know, different ideas, different things happening. I, of course, would want like a cafe, you know, I'm a coffee lover, you know, fresh beans every day.
So you're having employees too?
No, I don't think I'd go that far because I don't want to employ somebody to be in my house because I imagine they are the people that will kill you. But I've seen Parasite. Yeah. Yeah. I'd be able to run it myself. I do a little homework. I figure out how to run it myself. But I would have I guess I would have a person who brings me fresh beans every morning, like a milkman. Here are your beans today, sir.
I think, and this is where I'll cap it in terms of spending shit. I would like to be next door neighbors with Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, well, that would be fun. Emilio, I'm trying to bake some cookies, and I want to know if I could borrow a cup of sugar.
Like, Jeff, come on in.
Ah.
Like, by the way, I saw you just got some new vintage YSL. I'm gonna come. Can I raid your closet? I have a big meeting I have to go to. I kind of want
to. What's YSL?
Yves Saint Laurent.
I'm still lost.
It's a clothing line.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Yeah, it's a clothing line. Jeff Goldblum likes Yves Saint Laurent. And if you watched The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
I did.
Almost everything that he's wearing is exclusively Yves Saint Laurent.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
He's quite a stylish guy.
I love his clothes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, but that's why I would like to live next to Jeff Goldblum just because of his.
Well, he has a stylist. Is that something you'd spend your money on if you had that kind of money?
No, I got style. So I would just.
Well, I know, but.
I mean, I have friends that are just stylists. So yeah. I'd be like, okay, listen, I'm going to go shopping today. Here's my budget. Come with me.
Mm-hmm.
Hang out with me.
Yeah, I imagine that's what it's like. I doubt that Jeff has no style for himself. I'm sure he knows what he wants.
Right. I just think it's easier to be like, hey, here is the list of stuff that I want. Go get it. Bring it back to me. I will try it on. And if it doesn't fit, return it.
I understand.
That's what I would do.
Okay. Well, the last thing on my list is, and this is, I don't know, this is more like a product that I would make and want to manufacture, but I would want PCMC action figures done in sort of like the Kenner Real Ghostbusters style, but like different, like, you know, there'd be different waves, you know. Okay. You know, the first wave would have all of us, and then like the second wave would be like Screaming Heroes. It'd be like, you know, Janine, but when you press her arm, her eyes pop out.
Yes, yes.
Emilio, but when you like you squish him down, he jumps off the ropes like the old.
I love it. I love it.
You know what I mean?
It. You press Mighty Vin, his hair comes up.
Yes, yes. His hair grows.
His hair grows like that Peter Venkman figure. Yes. From the Screaming Heroes collection. I had that actually.
You did?
Yeah, I actually still have the
his arms. Too. His arms turn like, I would want the PCMC action figures.
I love it.
Not
love
pops
it.
Though. Kenner figures.
I got no use for pops.
I'm over it.
No use. My God, this flew by.
Well, that's what happens when you're talking about spending your magical money on dumb shit.
God, I wish I had magical money to spend dumb shit.
I know.
Like, I mean, I'd probably do other things too, like, you know, game worn Michael Jordans. You know, and things of that nature, you know.
Absolutely. I don't, you know, I would also, as much as I focus on like making a really cool home, I would also travel a lot. I would travel, you know, everywhere, you know.
You don't even get on a plane.
What?
You don't even get on a plane.
I don't like planes because of my OCD, but right. I'll get on a plane. You know, I go to Japan every year. You know, I'd live a life.
Oh, the toys in Japan must be insane.
Right now, I'd be like, oh, are the cherry blossoms blooming? Well, it's time to go.
I know. I would love to go see the cherry blossoms in Japan.
I know. But, you know, alas, we're working middle class scum.
that are just handcuffed to the shocking truths of reality that we will probably never advance past our social class.
Oh, boy. This was a fun episode. It's ending on a down note. Emilio Sparks, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for the invites.
All right. We end every episode by saying what?
Go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.